Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Hello and welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by FNTSY on the NBA Sound System. My name is Scott Bogman. Today we have a lot to talk about in the NBA. We had a blockbuster trade. Jimmy Butler finally moved. We have Houston having a problem possibly with Carmelo. You know, I guess problems slash illness, maybe we want to say. I don't know. We had Caris LeVert with a gruesome injury. We also have some problems with the Warriors locker room right now, I guess you would say. And we had some games tonight as well. So there's a whole lot to talk about. Just introduce myself. My name is Scott Bogman. Like I said, you can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I am a Rockets fan, so hopefully that doesn't mean too many people are turning this off. I can be an unapologetic homer, like I think most people can be, but I think for the most part, I like to keep it fairly even-keeled. So I was very excited about the Rockets win tonight, but we will get to that later, of course. The biggest thing that has happened in the past couple days is the huge, huge Jimmy Butler trade. It finally happened. There were obviously problems in that locker room, speaking of locker room problems, with Kat and Jimmy Butler, and Andrew Wiggins jumped in there too. They worked together very well. They were very professional, I thought, outside of the couple little things you heard, like Jimmy chirping at the GM and things like that. They kept it together on the court, and that's what you want from professional athletes. I mean, it's, you know, it's very different from any professional environment that, you know, us normal folks would have. You go into the office and, oh man, there's Bob. I hate that guy. You know, stuff like that. Like, it's different than that. You have to work with these guys every day. You got to practice with them every day. There has to be good chemistry in the locker room. And if there's not, then resentment gets built up. And, you know, these kinds of things happen. So hopefully we have that all behind us, because a bunch of people got new teams. And if you are a fantasy guy like I am, we are very happy that Jimmy Butler got moved, because it seems for fantasy that his value is going to stay a lot the same. He played with stars in Minnesota. He played with Teague. He played with Kat. Wiggins commands the ball a whole lot. So you're going to Philly, you kind of have that same type of dynamic with Joel Embiid, with Ben Simmons, you know, if Markel Fultz can get right. We have stars aplenty in Philly. They're a great team. They're a nice young building team, and they bring this huge veteran piece. And it's kind of what is going on in the NBA, is getting a big three. You know, my Rockets, like I said, a little bit of a homer. My Rockets have Clint Capella. We got James Harden. We got CP3. That's our three. The Warriors have got Kevin Durant. They have Steph Curry, they got Draymond Green, they got DeMarcus Cousins, they got everybody, Klay Thompson. So, I mean, that's why the Warriors seem fairly unbeatable right now, but this is the step. This is the next step. This is, to be honest, this might be the end of the process. As far as I see it, you have three huge stars. You're in the Eastern Conference. Really, the teams that you have to compete with are, you know, they're really good teams. Toronto is playing better than anybody right now. Boston is still very, very good. There's good teams in the East, but it is not the tough road to hoe that is the West. So it seems like everything is adding up for Philly, and I hope this works out. And, you know, they asked Joel Embiid, I thought this was funny, are you going to calm it down with Jimmy around? And Joel Embiid had the most Joel Embiid answer you possibly could have, and he said, I'm going to do me. And what would you expect? Why would you expect anything different than Joel Embiid? I think he has proven that nothing really gets to him. You know, this is a guy that said, it's not really a rivalry between us and the Celtics. They kick our ass. You know, I mean, if you want a straight shooter, I don't know if you can get a more straight shooter than Joel Embiid. And if he's on the right end too, he'll tell you about it. he'll tell you that he owns property in someone's head. You know what I mean? I love Joel Embiid. He is a lot of fun to watch, and I think he is great for this league. But like I said, Jimmy Butler, we are very happy to see him move, us fantasy people anyway, to a new team so we don't see those DNPs. Because there was also a rumor that we were going to see him really rest, like sit out, not show up, that kind of stuff. So luckily, we do not have to worry about that anymore. Now, on the Minnesota side, it's going to be interesting to see Robert Covington come in, because it seems like Robert Covington is a Tom Thibodeau, molded player. Very, very good at defense, plays offense well, but really hard-nosed. And that is what Lord Sir Robert Covington, probably the third, is known for. So Minnesota should be very, very excited about him. And Dario Saric, you know, it's just really nice to see him get a fresh start, I think, because he was good in Philly last year. I don't know what has happened for him this season, but it hasn't worked out. So it's nice to see him get a new scene, you know, get him a change of scenery here, and hopefully everything works out, because it's going to be interesting, because Taj Gibson is that same type of Tom Thibodeau molded player, a defense-oriented, strong, you know, leader, veteran type that Tom Thibodeau really seems to gravitate to and like. So it's going to be interesting to see the minutes split up between those guys. You know, someone will move the center and all that stuff, but there will be interesting rotations, but I'm very excited to see what it looks like in Minnesota with those guys. And we will see today, because Minnesota is playing New Orleans, and we should also see Jimmy Butler because Philly is at Orlando. So hopefully we get to see a fun debut for the players involved in that trade. Now, there were some interesting trade rumors that involved Jimmy Butler that didn't come to fruition. The first one being Miami. There was that whole supposed drama where they're going to get Josh Richardson, and they had the deal done, but then they called up and asked for extra things, and you know, Pat Riley said some things, but then they asked Pat Riley, he said, nah, that stuff never happened. So, I mean, it makes for drama and things like that, but Josh Richardson is playing amazing right now, so I don't know why after the season started that Miami would wind up trading Richardson, but obviously that one went the way of the dodo very quick. And then the Rockets had a couple offers out for Jimmy Butler that were not accepted. The first one, of course, being the four first-round picks, and everyone was saying, oh, first-round picks, and making that John Gruden meme, of course, which was very funny. But that one didn't come to fruition, which kind of surprised me, to be honest with you, because the first-round picks were much later, you know what I mean? They're 2024, 2025, possibly, were a couple of them. I think one of them was for 2020. It's like 2020, 2022, 24, and 25, something like that. And I believe they were all going to be unprotected. And who knows? I mean, you know, teams sink very fast. And the worst place to be, in my opinion, in the NBA as far as a team is in the middle. You don't want to be in the middle. You don't want to try to be adding stars. You want to be done with that process. That's what the Sixers kind of showed us. You know, if you are going to be not great in the NBA, you want to be very, very bad so you can add those potential franchise players at the top of the draft and then build from there. You know, then you can add free agents and things of that nature. But anyway, the first four-round pick thing didn't work out for Houston, but there was also a rumor of another deal where it was Eric Gordon, Nene, and two first-round picks, and the Wolves nixed that one. And then the other big one was Nico Mirotic and an unprotected first for Jimmy Butler. But I guess the T-Wolves wanted Drew Holiday. And I don't know why the Pelicans would do that. Jimmy Butler's very good, but, you know, fantasy-wise, Jimmy Butler way ahead of Drew Holiday, probably. But Drew Holiday is one of the best players in the NBA. Defensively, he's amazing. Offensively, he's very, very good. Underrated, I would say for sure. So I don't know why they would do that. I know that they're trying to get Jimmy Butler to push to keep AD, but I don't know. That one didn't make much. Nikola's very good player, but Nikola and a first-round pick just ain't going to get it done. So that is the trade that we have, and I'm excited to see what it looks like. Now, we also have some trouble in paradise, or I guess trouble in Houston with my Rockets, I should say. And this is so weird how this is working out. The Rockets signed Carmelo Anthony this offseason. Now, it wasn't my favorite signing. I have to admit that. I've never really been a Carmelo fan. I didn't see the fit. He's just not my guy, I guess, is what, you know, saying it the nice way, is he's not my guy. I wasn't a fan of the signing. And, you know, him and Mike D'Antoni have had problems in the past, so I'm really not surprised to see that there were problems. Now, there were major problems in New York. There were very difficult things to work through. I don't think it was this bad. I just think that the overall fit was not there for Carmelo in Houston. You know, it was interesting, I guess, and maybe they thought they could squeeze some more blood out of that stone for Carmelo, but it just didn't work. He didn't fit. He's shooting terribly. I thought maybe, you know, looking at the bright side, that if Carmelo accepted a role kind of like Eric Gordon has, you know, as a spot-up three-point shooter on offense, bang with the bigs on defense because he is a, you know, he's a big body down there and gets a lot of rebounds and stuff. And, you know, you don't have to play amazing defense. You just got to get in the way. You know, Harden's been doing that for a while. It's not amazing defense to downright terrible defense he's had at some points in his career. But I think last year he made a marked improvement, and it's just about getting in the way. You know, you don't have to be some elite. You don't have to be the Drew Holiday. You know, you don't have to be Defensive Player of the Year. You don't have to be Draymond. You just have to have effort. And it wasn't really going that way for Houston, so it looks like, and I can't say that he's gone yet, because the official word is that Carmelo has missed the last three games with an illness. Now, there was a funny moment pregame where Mike D'Antoni started coughing before the interview, and someone said, "Hey, you get that from Carmelo?" And he said, "Well, it's going around, and you're not funny." But he had a big grin on his face when he said it. So that, I mean, it was a funny moment. I mean, you kind of have to know what's going on there. But I think it's interesting that if Carmelo does leave Houston, he's waived. He has a very low contract this season because he got the guaranteed money from Atlanta, and Atlanta waived him in that weird trade earlier this season. He's not much of a cap hit for the Rockets. It's an easy wave. It's not like a difficult thing where they have to give him all this money and things of that nature. But I want to know where he's going to land, because that should be interesting. It seems like maybe, I mean, I have an idea, but let's take a look at some other teams here real quick. I don't think any teams like Cleveland or Atlanta, just going through the standings, you know, Cleveland and Atlanta just have too many young players. They don't need Carmelo in there messing things up and, you know, not giving the young guys experience. Same thing with the Knicks and Chicago. Washington doesn't make much sense. There's not a whole lot of room in that front court. Miami, I don't think that's a fit. Orlando. I thought about possibly Brooklyn and this, you know, Caris LeVert injury, which we'll talk about in a minute here. Definitely opens up some playing time for someone there. I think RHJ is going to get it. But, I mean, maybe. We know that Carmelo loves New York, and playing in Brooklyn could be ideal for him. They probably wouldn't have to pay him a bunch of money. It would draw some tickets in, sell some jerseys, things like that. There are still people in New York that love Carmelo. Looking through the rest of the Eastern Conference, Detroit, Charlotte, no. Boston, no. I don't think any of these other teams want to, you know, mess with the chemistry that they have. You know, Toronto is 12-2. You don't want to screw with that. Milwaukee is very good. They're 10-3. Philly's 9-6. Just added Jimmy. You know, none of that makes sense. So going over to the Western Conference, Phoenix. Phoenix is a possibility. They've been looking for a facilitator, and possibly Carmelo could be that guy. I just don't know if you want to bring a guy like Carmelo around all those young players. See that? And I think that these teams that are, you know, in the rebuilding process, which in the West, it's really only the Suns. Everyone else is playing very well. They're 2-11. The next worst team is Minnesota at 5-9. Dallas is 5-8. The Rockets are 6-7. New Orleans 7-6. Utah 7-6. But this is a team that I think could possibly bring in Carmelo. Why not the Los Angeles Lakers? They already have a weird lineup going on. No one really could make heads or tails of the signings of this offseason with Stevenson, with Rondo, and JaVale McGee. It was kind of like, how are all these guys going to fit? We know that LeBron is upset with the start that they're having. They're 7-6 at the 10th seed right now in the West, so they'd be out of the playoffs. They're behind Sacramento, Memphis, Oklahoma City, the Clippers, Denver, Portland, you know. The Lakers, I mean, LeBron expects to win. I don't know that. I think the overall assumption is, okay, LeBron's going to go to the Lakers. They're going to be kind of bad this year, but they can get Lonzo Ball some lessons, and then next year they can bring in, you know, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, bring in the stars. Kevin Durant, obviously, a huge rumor as well. So we'll see what happens in the future. But for this year, why not bring in LeBron's best friend, Carmelo Anthony, or, you know, friend. I don't know if they're best friends. But bring in Carmelo, and I think that'll cheer up LeBron, and it'll do two things. LeBron will get to play with his buddy, and Carmelo will get a chance to say, hey, you know, I just didn't fit in Houston. I'm not a problem. I can still play this game, and I can work together with a superstar. So, you know, it's kind of taking a backseat because Carmelo was a superstar. I mean, I've never been a Carmelo fan, but he absolutely was a superstar. You know, he was the second pick behind LeBron in that draft, and he was good for a very long time. I think he's just gotten a little bit older, and he's very offensive-minded, so the defense lapses for him. But I think that that would be a perfect fit. I don't know that anyone else in the West really fits. I don't think that he's a guy that Pop would ever take. Oklahoma City, he did last year. I don't think that's going to happen again. No thank you for the Clippers. Denver, I don't see it happening. Portland, and definitely not Golden State. I mean, maybe he would want to go to Golden State and ride the bench, but I think that's the problem with his role in Houston, is he doesn't think that he's involved enough. And we'll see what happens with him moving forward. But I don't think that this is something that Houston and Carmelo can work out. So I do believe that he is going to be gone. Moving on from that, Caris LeVert was, I mean, this injury, I can't believe that it was not worse than a dislocated foot. I mean, this looked like a Paul George in the Olympics, Kevin Ware, Gordon Hayward from last season type of an injury by the reaction you saw all the players have around him. I mean, it looked like his leg broke. I don't know how his leg didn't break, to be honest with you. It looked so gross seeing it. And it's one of those things where you know, you don't want to look, but you also want to look. I don't know how to explain that. I'm sure there's a word for it I can't come up with off the top of my head, but, you know, I wanted to see it just like, I think it's, I wouldn't say it's, you know, gross curiosity or anything like that. It's just, you want to see, is this really as big a deal as everyone's making it? And it looked like it was, but it's a dislocated foot. And Dr. Chow, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter at all, but his, you know, prognosis, and he's not a guy that sees these players. He just watches what he sees on television, and then obviously he's a surgeon. He knows a lot about this stuff, but his prognosis is 2 to 3 months, and that's probably a best case scenario. But that's not the official timetable. There's been no official timetable laid out for Caris LeVert yet. Brooklyn is the 8 seed right now. they're looking good. You know, D'Angelo Russell's going to see an uptick in offense, of course, and I think RHJ, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, is going to be the guy to take over LeVert's minutes. But for fantasy, you know, if you don't have an IR spot, 2 to 3 months at best is no good. I mean, if you don't have an injury reserve spot, IL spot, however you want to say it, he should probably be cast aside of your team. But RHJ gonna take an uptick. He's gonna move way up in ownership, and I think that is the guy to go grab now. But hopefully, I mean, Caris LeVert has had some injuries in the past. I really hope that this isn't a trend, and we're not going to have to put a injury prone tag or anything on Caris LeVert, because he was hurt in college. He's hurt, you know, he's missed games the first couple seasons in the NBA here, and then this gruesome injury. But this is a freak accident as well, so I don't want to sit here and call him injury prone yet. I'm just saying that hopefully we don't have to put that tag on him. But we did have action in the NBA tonight. We had Charlotte at Cleveland. This was an interesting game, mainly because Cleveland won. Cleveland 113, Charlotte 89. It's Cleveland's second win of the season. Their last win was October 30th versus Atlanta. Cleveland has 5 players that are in the rotation that are hurt and not playing right now. Obviously, Kevin Love still in a walking boot. George Hill is going to miss some time. That's why Colin Sexton has been starting. Sam Decker missed this game. Kyle Korver missed this game. And Seti Osman missed this game. They were, I read in the Associated Press that they were so low as far as bodies go that assistant coaches were playing in practice because they got to get 5-on-5. You know, they didn't have that many players. So it's been a tough road to hoe in Cleveland this year. They start out 0-6, Ty Lue fired. Then that whole mess with Larry Drew. Is he the coach? Is he not the coach? So Cleveland just has to sit back and enjoy this one. I really think that they got to sit back and enjoy beating a pretty hot Charlotte team as of recently. And we had a big game for my guy Tristan Thompson. 11 points, 21 rebounds, and 5 assists. Played a ton of minutes. David Nwaba had a huge game in this one as well. He had 18 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. And J.R. Smith played the most minutes of anyone for the Cavs. 39 minutes. He had 13 points, 3 boards, 5 assists, a steal, and a block in this one. And, I mean, you know, the guy wants to get traded, and putting up decent numbers like this, the field goal percentage still wasn't great, 5 of 13, but 3 threes, a ton of minutes, and going out there and gutting it out. Pretty good performance on the Cleveland side. As far as Charlotte goes, not a great one. Actually, the worst game of the season for Kemba Walker. 2 of 16. Malik Monk didn't help out either. He was, I believe it was 3 of 13. So together, those guys were 5 of 29. Just not a very good shooting night. Jeremy Lamb had a very good night, 8 of 16. He shot, obviously, 50%, 5 of 5 from the line. He knocked down a 3 as well. Weirdly, though, the plus-minus, he had the lowest plus-minus, minus 24. Batum was minus 20, Walker minus 13, Monk minus 12. Just very strange to see the guy with the most points and shooting the best have the lowest plus-minus. That's a rarity. The next game that we had tonight was my Houston Rockets beating Denver 109-99. Harden, slow start, finished this game strong. 19 of his 22 points were in the second half. 6 players for the Rockets were in double digits, and those guys were P.J. Tucker, James Enes, who I like this lineup of Enes and Tucker. Much more defensive lineup. I love it. Clint Capella, 24 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, and a block. Chris Paul, 21, 5, 4, and 2. And those 22 points combined with 11 assists, 3 steals, a block, and 5 boards for James Harden. So a good night for the Rockets. On the Denver side, it was the first double-digit loss of the season for them. They have been very, very good this year. But we still had some good performances fantasy-wise. Nikola Jokic with another double-double. 14, 12, 7 assists, 2 steals, 6 of 14, 2 of 3 from the line. Jamal Murray, 15 points, 5 assists, a rebound, and a steal as well. Gary Harris, 15 points, two boards, an assist, and four steals. And Monty Morris, 19 points, six assists. So Denver still looking good. Just a tough home loss against the Rockets in this one. And then we had Golden State, 110, Atlanta 103, no Steph Curry. Again, there's no real timetable. He says he's feeling better from this groin injury, but hopefully it's going to be soon. No Draymond in this one. Obviously, the stuff between Kevin Durant and Draymond from the previous night, it looked ugly. But I think the thing that we got to understand about these locker room spats is that they happen all the time. I mean, you know, was this bad? Sure, it was bad. But great competitors, good teams have these type of things all the time. You think Michael Jordan didn't butt heads with anyone? I mean, Michael Jordan is hated by a lot of his teammates because of his intensity. And Draymond has done this before. Him and Steve Kerr have gotten into it. And, you know, I think Steve Kerr knows how to handle this type of stuff. He's had these players for the last three seasons, you know, as far as with Durant goes. And Draymond, he's compared Draymond to Dennis Rodman. I mean, Steve Kerr dealt with Dennis Rodman. I don't think Draymond is going to be that big of a problem moving forward. Was he upset? Yes. Was Kevin Durant upset? Yes. I mean, there's all kinds of rumors about, you know, him saying, this is why I'm out of here. I don't know that any of that matters in the long run. Tempers flare up. Kevin Durant said the right stuff today in the press conference in this one, where we're going to keep those things in-house. I understand you guys are trying to do your job and be reporters, but we're going to keep that stuff between us. And I think that was the absolute right thing to say. And, you know, this isn't a Gilbert Arenas and, man, what's the other guy? Crittenton, I believe, is in jail right now. It's not that type of a situation. This isn't, P.J. Carlissimo. This isn't any of those things. This isn't a Malice at the Palace. This is just a spat between two great players. And, I mean, is it bad? Like I said, yeah. I mean, when DeMarcus Cousins is breaking up a fight, it's probably pretty bad. But can they get over it? Absolutely. I think the main goal of a team sport is to win a championship. That is why Kevin Durant went to Golden State. He went to win. And when you win, winning cures everything. So they'll start winning, Curry will come back, and they'll be buddies again. I can almost guarantee you that. And if they're not, you know, I guess Kevin Durant can opt out and go play wherever he wants. So I just don't see it happening that way. I think if Kevin Durant leaves, it will be because he wanted to leave, not because Draymond drove him out or anything. I know that the rumors were that stuff was going on and, you know, some inappropriate language is going on in the locker room and Kevin Durant bailed. But I know Kevin Durant's, sensitive guy, I guess you would say. But I don't think that this incident is going to drive him out. But anyway, getting back to the game, Jonas Jerebko filled in, was pretty good starting for Draymond. 14 points, 13 boards, and 2 assists. He was a plus 23. That is huge. Biggest plus minus out of any of those Warriors. KD, 29, 6-3, 2 steals, a block, but only 9 of 23 from the field, but 11 of 11 from the line. And if they give you those free throws, you've got to knock them down. And even DeAndre Jordan's knocking them down this year. A bad shooting night for Atlanta. Trae Young, 2 of 12, 0 for 5 from 3-point line. Still chipped in with 5 boards, 9 assists, and 3 steals, but only 4 points, excuse me. Taurean Prince in this one led Atlanta in minutes with 39, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists for him, 8 of 14 from the field, 2 of 2 from the line, and 4 of 7 from downtown for him. I mean, this was an interesting game. You know, you have Atlanta, who is in a rebuild, and the champions. And this was a 7-point game at home in Oakland. I'm not going to sit here and say it's chemistry, because like I just said, I don't believe that's the case. But they got a lot of injuries. No Curry, no Draymond, and any team can be beat. So that is going to wrap us for today. We have an 11-game slate tonight. All kinds of interesting games. We have Philly at Orlando. We got Jimmy Butler's debut. Cleveland at Washington. That should be a fun one. Chicago at Boston. Miami at Brooklyn. Detroit at the 12-2 Toronto Raptors. Memphis at Milwaukee, another good one there. New Orleans at Minnesota, we get to see those Timberwolves debut. New York at OKC, Utah at Dallas, San Antonio at Phoenix, and Portland at the LA Lakers. Should be a fun night of basketball. I am Scott Bogman at Bogman Sports on Twitter, and we will see everybody tomorrow. Have a great day and enjoy some NBA.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.